It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
I would like to ask an interest in your prayers today as I stand before you. Pray for the message today that God will use it as only He can. If you would like to read with me, I have a very short reading from the 12th chapter of the Roman letter. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses for a scripture reading this morning. Paul writing to the Romans in what we have recorded in the 12th chapter, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what I would like to speak about today. The title of the message today will be The Will of God. And perhaps looking in this at doing the will of God. That which God would have to be done. I want you to really give thought to that with me here this morning. Doing that which God would have to be done, that which pleases the Lord, that which is according to His holy will. And I think that, oftentimes that especially I believe in the work of the Lord, we need to remind ourselves and we need to be reminded that the work of the Lord is exactly that. It's the work of the Lord. It's not my work, it's not your work, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about the work of the Lord. And certainly as a church, we ought to always desire in every situation that the will of God would be done. Not just something that we might want, but that the will of God would be done. But I want to talk today about the Lord's will in our lives. And I want you to think about this, and I'm going to ask a question of the congregation today, and you don't have to raise your hand. If you want to, you can, that'd be fine, but you certainly don't have to do that. But I want you to ponder this question in your mind and in your heart and ask yourself, do I want the will of God in my life? Do I want God's will to prevail in my life, or do I want what I want? And I preached a message during the during our revival, and you know, there's some people that don't believe this, but it honestly doesn't shake me at all on what I believe. I don't believe it's easy for people to get saved. The Bible teaches me that there are difficulties in getting saved. I do believe that it's easy for the Lord to save us. I don't think the Lord has any problem at all or any difficulty at all saving us. But I do believe it's difficult for us to get ourselves out of the way and allow the Lord to have His way with us. We have a tendency to fight God, and it's not easy. And that's when people begin to develop a way of salvation in their own minds where more people could get saved, they took away, the teaching of the necessity of conviction and things like that, and said, just accept the Lord at His word and just claim, you know, name it and claim it, and just make your decision and become a Christian. And they took away the difficult parts of it, and what that became known as is easy believism. Well, I don't cater to the easy believism way of salvation. I believe the church here knows that. I don't think it's easy for us as Christians, and I worry about situations where people try to make it this way, but as God's people, I don't believe it's easy for us to fight temptation. You know, some people say, well, that's, you know, it's easy. No, it's not easy. It's a struggle to fight temptation. It was hard for Jesus Christ to fight temptation. It's certainly hard for you and I to fight temptation. In fact, we can't do it by ourselves. We've got to rely upon the Lord. When we're tempted, we've got to rely upon the Lord, or we're going to be in trouble, aren't we? We've got to turn to Him and seek Him for His strength. And something else that I don't believe is easy, and that is for us to submit to the will of God. Now, you know, when I ask the question, I certainly didn't, mean to trick anybody or anything like that. But when I ask the question, and when I think about it myself, I wonder how that we answer that. When we think about that, how do we answer that in our own hearts? When you think about, do I want the will of God done in my life? And you say to yourself, yes, I do. And that's easy to do. I mean, it's easy to answer your own heart in that way. Yes, I want God's will to be done in my life. But it's something that I believe is a lot harder to do than it is to say. It's a lot harder to carry out that and apply that in your lives than it is just to say, yes, I would like for the will of God to be done in my life. It's not difficult to answer a question. But because of our nature, and to be honest with you, that's one of the things that I'm certainly looking forward to getting rid of One day I'm going to get rid of this Adamic nature that I have. The Apostle Paul wrote about in his own experience of looking forward to that day when he would undergo that change and that nature that had him do the things he wouldn't and not do the things that he would. He looked forward to the day, and you read and study the 7th chapter of the Roman letter, and I won't go there today, but you read that about Paul talking about that, how that when he would try to do good, that evil would be present with him. And he looked forward to the day when the Lord would change him in that way. And he wouldn't have that nature of Adam anymore that would cause him to do those things. But because that we do, because that we still possess that, it makes it difficult for us because of our selfishness and because of our own pride and our own desires. It makes it difficult for us to submit ourselves to the will of God. You're going to have God's grace in order to do that. And that's what I want to speak about today, is really giving way to the will of God. I want you to notice in this, and I want to mention this and probably talk about it a little bit later on, but I want you to notice in these two verses that I read from Romans chapter 12, that here where Paul wrote to them about doing the perfect will of God, there was something that he mentioned in his exhortation to them that they might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and that was sacrifice. It included sacrifice. And I'm going to say that in, each situation where we truly, if we honestly desire to do the will of God in our life, there's going to be sacrifice that's going to be involved, at least in many of those situations. You know what Jesus said? One of the great things that a person had to do in order to be his disciple, what was it? Was it not sacrifice? Were there not things that they had that person had to sacrifice in order to be his disciple? Didn't Jesus say that the things that we loved and the things that we desired had to be laid aside? They had to be sacrificed in order to be his disciple? Jesus once said, he that loveth father or mother, sons or daughters, houses or land, more than me, isn't worthy of me. If you really want to be in the Father's will, then there is sacrifice that's involved. And Paul wrote about that here, and he said, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And he said that when we do this, that's our reasonable service. And also to not be transformed to this world, or not be conformed rather to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and do these things, undergo this transformation and this sacrifice, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. In other words, if we're going to live our lives according to the will of God and according to the way that God would be pleased in us, then we're going to have to desire the things of God more than the things of ourselves. So there's sacrifice involved in doing the will of God, and probably already you don't like the sermon. I mean, honestly, we don't like things like that. We don't like that type of thought. We don't like giving up what we want. We don't like making sacrifice. We like having things the way that we want to have it. And so, you know, we perhaps don't enjoy listening to things like that. But listen, God did so much. I mean, he paid such a great price in order for us to have what we have. He really did. God made great sacrifice in order that you and I could have a way to be saved, in order that we could have a way to be redeemed, that we could be saved from our sin and escape the damnations of eternal torment. God made great sacrifices in order for that to be done. In the 40th Psalm, in verse 8, the psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And certainly, when we read that, that's a great attitude. That's a great spiritual attitude that the psalmist was expressing in that when he said, I delight in this. I delight to do thy will, O God. And certainly we should all pray and ask God to help us that we might have that type of outlook, that we might look to God to give us the strength to do that. But it takes a lot for us to be able to say that and to be true in that and to be sincere in that in every situation, to say, God, I delight in doing your will and not my own. It's not an easy thing. You know, I don't know where, I assume it was David that made that statement. I delight to do thy will. I don't know what his spiritual condition was at that time. I know that it's included in the same psalm where he was giving thanks to God for what God had done for him, how that God had brought him up out of a horrible pit and placed his feet upon a rock and established his goings and put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto God. And included in that same psalm when he was giving God thanks for that, he said, Lord, I delight to do your will. In the 143rd Psalm in verse 10, and I want to share this one with you. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And so in order that we would have the attitude in our lives where we would delight in doing God's will, then perhaps our prayer needs to be as what we find recorded in the 143rd Psalm in verse 10, and ask God to teach us. Teach me, Lord, to do thy will. Lead me in a way that I will be able to do thy will. And let's go back again and remember where this started. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And let's think about this. Is that, and the Bible tells us that's our reasonable service, but let's think about that. Is that asking too much? Is it asking too much? That we give ourselves up in that way that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Well, you know, when God uses us in that way, you know, he's only working with that which is his to work with. It's a hard concept, I believe, for us to grasp, because of our nature, because of that Adamic nature that we have, but we belong to God. We're His. Those of us who are saved, we belong to God. We are His redeemed people. If you read in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe, Paul wrote and said that you are bought with a price. Bought, you're purchased, you're redeemed. That's what redemption is. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are yours. No, which are God's. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so when we, God in asking us through the inspiration of his word and asking us to make this living sacrifice, to give ourselves up in a way that will prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives, he's certainly not asking us to go above and beyond any call of duty, because God owns us, because he purchased us and we are his, and God can use us however he chooses, and God can do with us what he will, and when he's finished, he can dispose of us in his own time according to what he chooses. God can do that. I believe it was the psalmist that wanted God to teach him to number his days. I don't know how many I'll have, do you? I don't know how many days that I'll have on the earth. You don't know how many days that you'll have on the earth. That's in bigger hands than mine, you know it? I mean, that's in bigger hands than ours. God is in control of that, not us. He gives life and breath to all, and God controls how many breaths that we get and how many heartbeats that we get and how many days and moments and hours that we live. God controls that. He owns us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus concerning the will of God. He said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And you know, there's nothing. Listen, when you submit yourself to God, do it in sincerity. Do it truly. Do it genuinely. When you submit yourself to God, in fact, listen, anything that you do for God, make sure that it's for God and not for men and not to be seen. Jesus warned about that type of prayer. He warned about the Pharisees praying that way out in the open where they could be seen of men and be known for their long prayers and be known that doing that, that someone might say, oh, what a good servant of God that person is. But listen, if you're going to be praised, let it be by God. If you're going to be exalted in any way, let it be done by God and not by men. Not doing the will of God to please men. And not just doing it with eye service, but truly with the heart. From the heart, doing the will of God. Jesus taught us, and we find recorded in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus taught his disciples about praying, about how to pray. And when they prayed, they were to address God. Somebody not long ago, I believe it was Brother Josh, when he came from Unity Church in Indiana, came here and preached about prayer. And he said, you know, when we pray, what we do is we talk to the Lord. And Jesus taught us that in those verses, that when we pray, that's who we are to address, our Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what was one of the great things that he taught in that about prayer was that we were not to pray for our own need, for our own selfishness. We were not to pray for our own will. But he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've heard a lot of people pray. I mean, I know you have. You've heard a lot of people pray. And I've heard those words spoken many times when somebody would bow to pray. And perhaps before they conclude the prayer, they would say, Heavenly Father, it's, you know, don't let my will be done, but let your will be done. And I'm not casting a bad reflection. I don't mean it in that way. I'm not saying anything about anybody's prayers. But what I'm saying today is that it's not difficult to say that, is it? It's not difficult to kneel down and say, Father, you know, let your will be done. Not my will, but let your will be done. But when it comes many times to really doing that, it's a hard thing to do. There's a great degree of difficulty in that. And we find that perhaps, in fact, certainly, there's no better example of that in the Scriptures than Jesus himself trying to give way to the will of his heavenly Father. We see and we find recorded in the 22nd chapter of Luke of him praying there in Gethsemane. And it talks about how that when Jesus was facing the cross, how that he was in great agony. I mean, he was getting ready to face something extremely difficult, something that was going to be very hard to do. And here the Son of God is kneeling there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying and he's striving to get his will in line with his Father's will. And he prayed, the Bible tells us, in such agony he prayed that his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, the cross was hard for him. What God was asking of him was difficult for him. And listen, I want you to know something, friends. We never had the promise. Nowhere in the Word of God can you ever find the promise that everything was going to be easy. Many times it's not. Many times it's not easy to give way to the will of God in our lives. But you know what? We need to do it. And we need to delight. We need to delight in God's will being done and not our own. And so Jesus prayed to that end, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Have you ever prayed for something to pass from you? I bet we all have. Paul prayed for that, didn't he? Didn't Paul pray for his thorn in the flesh to pass from him? Sure he did. Take it away. You know, Lord, that was his prayer, that God would take this thorn in the flesh away from him. And Jesus prayed there that if it was possible that this cup would pass from him. But you know what? If people were going to be saved, if God was going to have a redeemed people, then that wasn't possible, was it? There was no other way. There was no other way for it to happen except through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus there submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. And I want you to think about this today. And certainly you and I are never going to impact the world the way that Jesus Christ did. But when Jesus gave way to the Heavenly Father, when he submitted to the will of God and he went to the cross and he made the sacrifice, and the Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he endured those things. For what he could see out there was going to be the result of him giving way to the will of the Heavenly Father. He could look ahead and see that, and that gave him joy in that hour. And so when he submitted himself to the will of God and gave way to the death on the cross of Calvary, we have seen the results throughout time of Jesus giving way, giving in to the will of the Heavenly Father. And you look around here today, look around today, And just look next door, Sister Paulita, you can look at Maddie today. Brother and Sister Goodman, you can look at each other today. And Treva and Donna, you can look at each other today. And you can share your experience of salvation with each other. And the Lord really made an impact when he gave in to the will of God, didn't he? And I'll tell you what, I believe that if you and I will do that in our lives, if we'll just give way to the will of God in our lives, it'll have an effect. It'll have an effect on somebody in some way. It will affect lives when we do that. Jesus taught us to pray for that. That alone teaches us that we need help. If we're going to submit ourselves to the will of God, we need help. We need to pray to that end. Father, not my will, but your will be done. We can't do it on our own. We've got to ask God to help us to do that. There are situations where it's necessary for us to do that are so difficult and challenge us so much as people. I've shared this with the church before. I'm going to tell you this again today. I don't believe I'll ever forget this as long as I'm of sound mind. I had a little nephew that died when he was 3 days old. He was born with health problems that he just couldn't live. Born with holes in his heart, and he just wasn't going to make it. And that little guy lived 3 days, and he died. And I was there at the hospital when he died. And I was just brokenhearted. And when they came out and told us, I began to weep. I was just so brokenhearted over my little nephew dying. And my sister, who had given birth to that little boy, began to rub my arm. And she spoke to me so gently. And she said, "Jerry, this is the will of God." And I'll never forget witnessing the obvious grace that was on her in that moment when she was just able to give way to the will of God and say, "This is what God has chosen. This is what God has desired." And, there's a lot of times, folks, there's a lot of things that God will do, and there's things that God will ask of us that may not seem like what we would choose. There have been things in the ministry, there have been works that God has called me to, and if it would have been left up to me, it wouldn't have been what I would have chosen. But I had to just submit to God's will and do what God was asking. And there's things that God asks of us and situations that we're in that may not make sense to us, may not seem logical to us. We may question, why is it like this? Many times all we can do is just say, "Father, it's just your will. It's just your will." Job did that, didn't he? Job did that when he had so many things happen. And he said, "The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And just resigned to God's will and God's way. I pray that we can all do that. And that we would pray for each other, that we would be able to do the perfect will. will of God. I thank you today for your attention. One of these days I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to understand things better by and by. There may be a lot of things down here on earth that I don't understand, but Lord, give me the strength. Give me the resolve from time to time. I don't know what lies, I don't know how many more days God will give me. I don't know what lies ahead, but I'm of the opinion that there's going to be some things I'm going to have to face that I wouldn't want to if I continue to live. God, give me the resolve to just give way to you and to your will and to trust you until the day that I may have a little bit better understanding of what takes place in this life. Thank you for your attention today, and I hope that there's been something said that's helped somebody in some way. Remember Brother Hicks, 6 o'clock tonight.